I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Rulan Tangen. She is founding artistic director and choreographer of Dancing Earth, and that is a group that's presenting Night of Stars, Moon, Water at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque on Friday and Saturday, the 9th and 10th of March. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
It's great to have you back. Now, you bring together dancers sometimes from far and wide,
yeah,
to do these performances that have a kind of primal intensity to them.
Well, you know, the work that I'm doing, I call it, for want of a, you know, it's almost unnameable because it's never happened until I started creating it. Maybe all choreographers say that. Maybe that's the reason for doing what they do. But I had worked in ballet and modern dance and powwow dance and all kinds of different things, and didn't find what I was trying to express about deep cultural philosophies that permeate every kind of everything in life. And I was like, that can be put into motion, and it's futuristic, but it's also very primal and instinctive. So, you know, I started the company about 2004 officially, but much earlier than that. Some of the dancers in the company now, I had met when they were 10 or 12 years old. And, you know, so everyone's carrying this native heritage and trying to find a way to transmit it in a contemporary manner that's still authentically rooted culturally. So I travel a lot. I do a lot of teaching around the country, and I recruit dancers from far and wide, like you said.
Yeah.
And even more so for this festival. This is our first step. We're calling it an Indigenous International Festival. And it's partly because someone once said, gosh, you know, just within your company, there's so many tribal representations or tribal representatives. You're almost like a little mini United Nations for Native America. And so that was a sort of like, that's true. Because when we're doing our full-length productions, they're often rooted in ecology or, you know, some big theme that has been handed to us by elders or cultural advisors. So we let go of ourselves in order to become transmitters or translators of these larger truths. And then, you know, people love to meet us afterwards. Like, oh, you know, I thought you might have had some breakdance background. I saw that in there. Or, you're a powwow dancer, aren't you? Like, they want to know about these really unique, gifted individuals that make up the company. So this festival, in a way, it really just honors each artist that's in Dancing Earth and lets them show what their dance background was before Dancing Earth. You know, something they might have committed years to, whether it's martial arts or singing or spoken word poetry, ballet, and they get to sort of highlight one of those things.
And so are they a bunch of solos in a row or small pieces in a row, or are you all dancing together?
Well, we're going to do, like I said, solos to highlight these individual dancers. And then at the end, so, you know, the night, it's called Night of Stars, Moon, Water. So it's, you know, under the stars, it's almost a full moon that night. And the water, it's actually a little glimpse of the new full-length work we hope to create this fall. So it's like a little preview, and I almost feel like it's a ritual of bringing the audience in and saying, here's what we hope to do. So we'll all come on stage, and we'll do what we call an invocation, which is essentially an improvisation in which there's live music, live vocals, poetry, dance, and to say, you know, these are the forms with which we want to express this water theme, and we're inviting you as the audience to help us, you know, put a blessing on this and give us the juice so we can, you know, make it happen. And sometimes that's money, sometimes that's resources, but part of it is just saying, here's what we plan to do, putting our intention out there.
One thing that I think about a lot is the fact that so much dance evolved in a participatory way, whether that be ceremonial or social. And then when you put it on stage, it's a different thing. It's a performance, which is a kind of Western European idea. And so how do you bring that together and kind of, I mean, or do you try to keep the participatory aspect in some way?
It's funny. We're wrestling with that all the time. And in fact, we are, by bringing these different Native people together, this one is focusing on mostly our local artists who are, they are the urban native community members of New Mexico. And in a sense, this improvisation we're doing, that is a participatory ritual for us as Native artist community members, and, you know, welcoming in the audience to do that. We also do a lot of things when we're outside of the theaters. We do things in outdoor sites or unconventional sites where there is audience participation. It's a little hard when you're in a huge theater, you know, getting rushed to the stage with, you know, hundreds of audience members. You know, that might not be too practical. We've worked in different ways of audience participation. The last time we performed in Albuquerque, we had these little leaves, these paper leaves that we, when audience members came in, we asked them to write something on, and we ended up incorporating that into the performance. And again, that was a very small theater where that was manageable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have in your company people with, as you mentioned, so many different bloodlines. And I wonder, again, it's a kind of ongoing question of what does bloodline even mean? Like, if you're a Native person with some African blood, or you're a Native person with some Indian, East Indian blood, does that, do you seek that out? Does it somehow find its way? Do those roots find their way into the dance?
Well, those definitely are almost never things that, never ways that we categorize ourselves. I think that includes everyone I know, whether they're of European background, like whatever background there is. Most people aren't categorizing themselves that way, but most people do associate themselves with some kind of culture, whether that's Native American or whether people feel that they're carrying two cultures because of the primary culture of their mothers and fathers, or whether it's a culture of, like, the people who have coffee here at the baking company and that's their ritual, or you know, dance is a culture. So, but because even now with these, like, more scientific explorations with bloodlines where, you know, for the most part, they're able to trace everyone back to Africa, as far as I know.
Right.
So it's kind of not as much a part of our conversation, but in terms of the the company is established to provide expressive opportunities and job opportunities for people of Native heritage, partly because that's been largely ignored in the performing arts. But on the other hand, I don't try to impose an idea of indigeneity onto the dancers coming in. We're looking to find it in our bodies through what we express. And that usually means years of peeling away the previous training, which is all great. It gets us to this great physical place. But when I'm asking people to improvise, you know, for the first couple of years, you're going to be improvising based on forms you already know. Break dance, ballet, whatever it is you come in with. And then I keep trying to peel that away until we get to the instinctive level of beyond form, where it's the pure intent. And then sometimes, you know, we talk about this thing of ancestral memory and coming out through our body. So that's what I try to do in our choreographic process.
Did you ever have this moment where you first felt that, like you were looking for that and then it came forth?
I don't think I was looking for it. I think it came forth. And then I was like, what is this? It doesn't fit into any other, you know, anything I've done yet. You can call it modern dance because modern dance pretty much, you know, covers everything. And I'm kind of liking this word avant-garde. I used to have an association with what that meant, but it means like seeing something ahead of its time. And in terms of the way, you know, indigenous people see things, time is, you know, they talk about this great burrito, like past, present, and future all wrapped up into each other. So ahead of its time could mean seeing something that was ancient, that was so far ahead. I could translate into that into solar energy. We're talking about that as the way of the future. It's also very ancient, so
right.
It's a great metaphor for what I'm talking about. And in a sense, what the audience will see at Night of Stars, Moonwater, is that maybe towards the end of the performance, but before that, it's like this celebration of everything that the dancers bring as they come into the company. You know, without, you know, it's a celebration of that individual, and then seeing how the individual then becomes a totally different thing in a group entity.
We're talking to Rulan Tangen about the upcoming performance, Night of Stars, Moon, Water, at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. One of my favorite books of all time is Isadora Duncan's autobiography called My Life. And she says right in the very beginning, that she learned to dance from the sea and the trees and the wind and, and the sky and things like that, because basically her mother was so poor that she couldn't afford governesses and babysitters and things like that. So the kids, and I think she was the youngest, just ran around wild on the beach, and she learned to, and so I was thinking, when you were talking, it reminded me of that. When you get to that place where you're working with ancestral memory, essentially you're working with nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, that's a great way to sort of describe, so people can imagine what it's like. We do a lot of our explorations outdoors. I'm going to be spending a whole summer up in Canada, where I've been asked to direct a program based on of Indigenous dance, and most of the program is going to be spent outdoors, trying to, learn about, I guess the word is biomimicry, like by learning how the natural world works, we can re-educate our bodies and in our sense of relationship with each other.
What's an example of that?
This poster right here is a beautiful example of it. You see this gorgeous woman with these tree branches in her hair, and you'll notice that her hand is extended like a tree branch. So we have a piece that we did last year that was called Tree of Life. And, it's like using that spine as the center of the universe, and the arms and fingers and eyes all emanate from that spine. That spine is also our DNA, where the information that brings us back to our mother's 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 most ancient mother. And I use this Tree of Life because it's something that, as a dancer, I think of it all the time, like that movement starting from the center and moving out. So that's one example of it. And then one of the explorations that is a good example of that. I was up in Canada and we were doing some tree tapping in the winter. It's like finding that liquid that's at the heart of the tree, even in winter. And, in a very, that becomes maple syrup. But it's also like, okay, finding that, in stillness, when you think you're being absolutely still, there's actually tiny bits of movement that are happening all the time. There's a secret movement that's in everything, and finding out what that is.
And when you find that secret, I think sometimes they call them micro movements.
Ooh.
When you're standing absolutely still, how do you then make that into visible movement, and what kind of movement comes out of it that's different from your powwow dancing or break dancing or ballet?
What is different about it? Sometimes it's movement and sometimes it's stillness to the audience. And, there's some forms where you move so slowly that you actually start to take the audience into a different sense of time. Taking an image that's in silhouette. And in silhouette, it's one thing. And then when the lights come up, you realize it's four dancers that have molded together to make a tree, for example. I mean, that's something that, here on the radio, we can give an example of people who are like, oh, yeah, I could imagine that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a four-legged creature or an eight-armed octopus. And then, the lights come up and like, oh, it's actually, two dancers cartwheeling on top of each other. That's a real, fun example. But how is it different from ballet, modern, all that? I think when you study any particular form for long enough and you devote your life to it, whether it's classical ballet, whether it's contact improvisation, it's that thing of Walt Whitman. You learn the world through that blade of grass. But through devotion, and then you reach this mastery where even as a ballerina, you just put out one little arm, and the whole world, every word that could ever have been spoken is in that gesture. So it's trying to get to that pure essence, of, what does a gesture mean? Why is it your right hand? Why is the palm up and not down? And like I said, it can carry through into any form. Like, for example, in breakdance, like there's a spiral that happens in the center of breakdance, this coil and uncoil that allows the spin on the head, or, these things that look just outrageous, but they come from physics. They come from this understanding, not of the mind, but of the body, this understanding of the spiral that's at the center of all life. It's the DNA spiral. And then turning that into, okay, how can I tweak that? And I make it quick in the beginning and slow at the end, and it becomes something else, or it becomes the wave that goes from finger, elbow, shoulder out the other, that becomes a worm in breakdance, for example. But you know, once you get beyond the form, you master the form, you can do this, you can do that. Like, oh, how did I do that? How can I do it better? How can I do it more smoothly or more sharply?
Yeah. We're talking to Rulon Tangen. What kind of music are you using in these performances?
Oh, we've got some great selections. Like I said, the dancers were each picking their solo music. Some of it's on tracks. We've got a Michael Jackson track that's in there for one of the hip-hop pieces. And then what I like about this one is we're getting more multidisciplinary. There's spoken word poetry. There is so there's some movement that occurs to spoken word. We're doing some live music, which is always exciting, and it's something that we aren't always able to do because, I mean, frankly, because of the cost of rehearsals, of pulling in a full band and the full dancers, but we're able to do that for some of this. That's for the Odisha section, which is a traditional Afro-Haitian Afro-Cuban, yeah, it's the whole African diaspora, and that's being performed by Sina Sol, who is an ethnomusicologist as well as a singer, dancer, filmmaker, writer. She'll be bringing in some live drummers for that. What other music do we have? Diallo's doing a capoeira-based solo, which starts out with berimbau and then goes into Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. And that's very beautiful because it goes from this martial arts, which is associated with playfulness and, of course, with, you know, that, you know, protection of martial arts. But he's going into the spirituality of capoeira. Again, he's been studying it for so long, he can understand the circles behind it. What do circles mean in terms of spirituality? And that's what he's expressing through these dynamic movements. We've got a Nina Simone solo. That's from Nicole Salazar. She used to dance with Cleo Parker Robinson, which was an African-American-based ensemble, and she was trying to sort of recapitulate the career she had with that company through a solo, and, you know, beautiful Nina solo, so this strong woman's voice. And then there's a powwow solo. So that's like the traditional powwow drumming from a group called The Boys.
The Boys. Well, that definitely gives us a sense of it. I think one of the things that's so interesting living in the time we're living in right now artistically is that, first of all, there's much less separation than there was before between so-called high and low culture, and there is so much cultural mixing that is happening not in a sort of forced way, but in a very natural way. People are growing up so multicultural just based on what they hear and listen to, who their parents are, what their community is, and something very interesting is always cooking out of that.
Ooh, I can definitely see that happening. You know, we'll travel to a remote reservation, but all the kids are listening to hip-hop and very much identifying with, you know, what comes out of a urban black culture. But, you know, there's also some consideration that hip-hop actually does have roots in capoeira, which is in part indigenous to this continent and Africa. So sometimes what seems like, oh, how can that relate, actually does have roots that connect back to early indigenous forms. And then sometimes it's a matter of choice. I remember a couple years ago I was working with a Native American woman, and her preferred style of dance was belly dancing, Middle Eastern dance. You know, it comes from an entirely different culture, but that's what appealed to her. So, you know, we're in a culture often where we can make choices about what we do. You know, we're sort of lucky in that way.
And we can also just be possessed by something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, my own experience with that was Latin music, and I think, where on earth did this come from?
Ooh.
But Cuban music is the music of my soul. How did that happen?
Yeah.
And that happens to everybody, or it happens to so many people outside of what their cultural roots supposedly are.
Sure, it does. I think, you know, generally with Dancing Earth, we're looking for, you know, something that's got a through line. But in this performance, it's sort of people saying, and here's another thing that I have mastery of. And you may not know how it relates, but when you see it come through my body, you can understand how it relates. There's even one of our dancers, Aaron Nate, he's actually chosen for this performance to do spoken word and percussion, because those are some areas that he really has had a lot of professional skill in. So he's bringing cymbals on stage. We're pouring rice onto the cymbals to make the sound of rain. So he's bringing his creativity in that area, because he's like, well, usually for Dancing Earth, I'll be dancing a lot. So here's a chance to show something else.
It also sounds like the kind of work you're doing works on so many levels, so that as an audience member, although you might not know what all the roots are of what you're seeing, they're working in the sense of, like, for example, this, I would never have thought of that, the spiral in breakdance is DNA. And even without knowing that, on some level, I think we are unconsciously affected by that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about a language that's beyond words. I think we're inundated with a lot of wonderful advances with words. We have rap, we have poetry, we have the written word. We've got words that are coming in on text message. We're very word inundated, and we've gotten very smart as far as taking in all those words. Or have we? Maybe it's more words than we actually can take in. The what can be transferred between people through bodies or through witnessing of bodies, like this, we can call it energetic, we can call it kinetic intelligence. It's coming into our brains on a much more instinctive level. And people can be like, oh, can you summarize that last dance piece? I'm like, it's actually a thesis. It's actually, an encyclopedia. It would be multi-volumes. It's 20 years of my own research and my spiritual practice and my, where I was emotionally when I made the work, or where the dancer was emotionally in our dialogue.
And so
we don't put it in words, because that's too many words put into a dance.
Right, and it would kind of be, in a way, it would be kind of like saying, can you please summarize your PhD thesis in a dance?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different medium.
It's a different medium. And they both, they can absorb, they are each other, they parallel each other. But yeah, there's a lot of information, and people, they don't have to know exactly what it is, because they might be tuning into it, what the symbol is, as a visual artistic piece. Other people might see it as a metaphor for socio-environmental justice. You should be able to read it at any level that where it hits you, and it still makes sense.
Rulon Tangen is the founding artistic director and choreographer of Dancing Earth, and the presentation is called Night of Stars, Moon, Water. And it's a whole festival of international, indigenous, contemporary performing arts, from powwow to poetry and percussion, at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, Friday and Saturday, the 9th and 10th of March at 8 in the evening. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
And I'd like to welcome now back to the show Crockett Bodelson and Sandra Wang of the Caldera Gallery. And they're here to just tell us about a show that's happening. What's it called? P.S. I Love You?
Correct.
Right. What's it all about?
It's 16 local artists who have made art on envelopes that we've displayed all around our gallery walls. So there's over 500 envelopes that are wrapping the gallery walls, and we've made them all affordably priced to encourage people to come in and take an envelope and include a note and deposit into one of our outgoing mailboxes. So what we do with the envelopes is that the artists cut together on one day, we did on Valentine's Day, and they suit up in pink, and they hand deliver the envelopes all throughout Santa Fe community.
And so you can write a letter to anybody you want and address
it? Right. We do have a random outgoing box.
And what kind of letters are you encouraging people, or that you might expect people to write?
That's none of our business. We don't look at the letters in the contents inside the envelope. All we do is we show up and we sing the first three verses from the song P.S. I Love You.
When they open, you knock on the door. You're doing singing telegrams.
So we knock on the door and we, as I write this letter, I send my love to you. Remember that I'll always be in love with you. And then it's kind of
so
awkward
cute.
And we give them the letter and we get out of there.
And artists have delivered to hospital rooms and classrooms and people's doorstep.
Restaurants. And March 4th, which is a Sunday, from 6 to 8, we're holding our second event, which will be letters to locals. So we're encouraging people from the community to come down to Caldera, write letters to not only friends and family, but also local government, and encourage people to speak up about issues that maybe they have a problem with. And I believe Houston Johansson will be there.
Candidate in District 1 for City Council.
Correct. And he will be handing out information on his campaign and also just encouraging young voters to go out and vote locally.
Very, very important. Young voters go out and vote locally. Caldera Gallery is in the same complex as Counterculture. It's on Bacchus Street near the corner of Cerrillos Road. Crockett Bodelson and Sandra Wang of Caldera Gallery, thank you so much for being here. And what's your website?
CalderaSantaFe.com.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is the Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us now speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Good morning, Santa Fe. The snow is over. The sun is out. What a perfect day.
The sky is blue. The sun is warm as a baked potato.
A baked potato.
We
could talk about
that. Do you know
what
that's a line from?
No.
Cannibal the Musical. The first film by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, creators of South Park, Team America, and the Book of Mormon. Just saying.
South Park is one of those systems that has transformed animation and television.
And the minds of millions.
And the minds of millions, yes, indeed. The Simpsons and South Park
are
a phenomenon.
In that order, the second one being the current one.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the arts, because there's a lot going on in Santa Fe this week.
Yeah.
Tonight, we have the opening of an exhibition that's a mobile exhibition. And if you folks haven't noticed that fabulous stainless steel truck, it doesn't deliver pizza. It doesn't deliver bread. It doesn't deliver milk.
It
delivers
Axel?
So much more. Yes, Axel Contemporary is the brainstorm of Jerry Wellman and Matthew Chase Daniels, and it's going to be at Site Santa Fe tonight. It's what it is this time is, and it's ever changing, is a show called E Pluribus Unum, or Unum. I'm never exactly sure how you're supposed to pronounce that.
I think
that.
It's Unum.
Okay, well, we'll go with that, because you're really smart.
Yeah,
Charlotte.
I know Latin.
You know Latin.
I wish I knew Latin.
Well, then you could go to Latin America and talk to them.
Yeah, I could talk Latin. Who was it? There wasn't some politician actually say...
Yes, yes.
Was it Danforth Quayle?
It was Quayle.
Or is that apocryphal?
No. He actually did say when he was down in Latin America...
That he needed to learn Latin.
He was sorry he hadn't learned Latin.
No.
And in some ways he's right, because Spanish... obviously derives from Latin, but I don't think he knew that. Anyway, what this project is, which is fabulous, is it's a mobile photo booth. And Matthew and Jerry have decided, and they're part of Site Santa Fe. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Site Santa Fe show. They've decided that they want to do a photo sort of collection, photographs of ordinary people, of everybody in Santa Fe. And you can come with some object that is important to you. I think you could probably even bring in your cat or your kid. But the idea is to record the population of Santa Fe. And they're going to do a major publication, which I think is being done with Radius Books, another phenomenal organization here in town. So if you want to go and have your photo.
What about your dachshund?
Well, you have to take the dachshund and ask them if that's okay, because I'm not exactly sure what their rules are, but Jerry and Matthew don't tend to stick to rules too much. So let's talk a little bit about Site's show. The show is a phenomenon, and it's called Time Lapse, and it really does stem from the practice of artists, which has been ongoing, to daily record some aspect of the world or their lives. Photographers often do a daily photograph. Some artists record what they eat for breakfast. Some artists record their child first thing in the morning. And what Irene Hoffman and Janet Dee, the director and the chief curator, have done is they've created an ever-changing exhibition at Site Santa Fe that's really quite wonderful. So what you
So if you go on any day, it's you're always not going to see what you saw the previous week.
Well, you may see what you saw the previous week, but it'll be bigger. It'll be changed. It'll be different. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what they are.
That's one sneaky, tricky way of getting people to come back, isn't it?
And it's, yes, it's a marvelous concept.
It's a great
of
idea.
Wanting to have people come back to Site Santa Fe over and over and over again. And, of course, one of the issues that's going to be raised is every time you go back, you got to pay. However, if I'm not mistaken, I think Sunday mornings are free. So check that out, and you can go in every Sunday to check out what's happening. So it's installations by Rafael Lozano Hemmer, Mary Temple, Byron Kim, and Eve Sussman with a group called Rufus Corporation, who are her sort of support team. And the show basically is about the fact that exhibits don't have to be fixed. They can be dynamic, they can be changing. And some of these pieces, which we're going to talk about, involve audience participation as well as the artist.
Excellent.
So that's kind of fabulous. The whole idea behind it is related to Seth Siegelaub's project, which was a catalog project. It was not really meant to be an exhibition and an interactive project. That was called March 1969, and there's going to be an amazing conversation between Lucy Lippard, who is the smartest art person and thinker in Santa Fe, talking with Siegelaub, but that's later in the month, so you can check that one out. The exhibitions that I want to talk about briefly are Mary Temple has a piece called Currency, and it's daily drawings. They're portraits that she does in India ink and some other materials on paper that are taken from internet images of political activities and events.
Yeah, I saw it, and it's basically, it goes up to date. It's a
yes.
like calendar diary with portraits of people from the news. And it's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful, and it's a daily practice that Mary Temple has been involved in for years. This is not something that she started for this exhibition. The exhibition actually picks up somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, in November 11, so they have enough room to have all of the
right.
Images up. And moving from daily drawings, Byron Kim, who's an amazing painter, who did this phenomenal project called Synodoche, which he began in the early 90s and still
like
works on.
Synecdoche?
Exactly, like Schenectady. No, Synodoche, which is, it's a painting, a series of paintings about skin color. And it's just beautiful and subtle and brilliant. But what he's done here is he's involving his Sunday painting project. Every Sunday he does a painting of the sky, wherever he is. And again, it ends up being a sort of discourse on tones and colors of blue and sky colors. And then he overlays it with a diary entry that makes that Sunday painting not just of the place that he finds himself in, but the his feelings and what's going on in his life. And then every Sunday he FedExes it to site. And whereas Mary Temple's are scanned and digital images of her drawings, Byron's paintings are actually there. And he sends them in, and they are received on Monday, so they're ready to be installed on Tuesday morning. Digital Digits is a recording piece by Rafael Lozano Hemmer. And there are two different kinds of rooms. One of them, which is kind of marvelous, one is a darkened room where you can get up on the podium and you can do a little performance, only when you open your mouth and start to perform, the person who was there before you is what is projected. So it's this sort of fabulous cycle.
And so that's, can we move on?
Yeah.
Because that's Site Santa Fe. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And I have to just say, as I always say, that this week's featured cat from Felines and Friends is from the sublime to the ridiculous, is Carmen, who is a social and talkative kitty girl who likes to be held and likes to play with other kittens, and she's feisty and independent, and she has a short tortoiseshell coat with unique markings. And if you would like to adopt her, call 316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com. You can also go to fnfnm.org.
New Mexico Institutions, the New Mexico Museum of Art, is opening an exhibition called Treasures Seldom Seen. It's curated by Joe Troggett, and it's a phenomenal exploration of works of landscape that have been in the collection for many, many years are rarely ever exhibited, and it includes John Sloan and George Bellows, as well as the major Santa Fe artists of history. The George O'Keeffe has works and a rather wonderful exhibition of Jean Quincy Smith, definitely worth seeing. And the New Mexico History Museum has its centennial project up that is a series of lectures that will be on Friday as well as Sunday.
And as we talked about in the past, they're doing a centennial letters project.
Yes.
So if you want to write a letter about what your life is like
in 2012,
and they said they've already gotten a lot about people who say we really like the beautiful blue sky, so you don't have to put that in because they already have
that
covered.
And you don't have to talk about the fact that it's sunny most days.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the specifics of your life that make this part of the world extra special.
And you can send it to the Centennial Letters Project, and then in 2112,
exactly,
people will read them, which I love. Sunday, March 4th, from 2 to 3, the High Desert Poets will have a reading at Opposite Bookstore, which is at 930C Baca Street near Counterculture Cafe. And it's four poets, and you might just enjoy that reading. And I love that there's a bookstore over in that plaza. It's a nice little plaza.
Yeah, yeah. There is so much live music in Santa Fe this week that it is unbelievable. All of the general sites, Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill, Pranzo, El Farol, Hotel Santa Fe, Cowgirl, all of them have amazing live music being performed. Get to as many as you can. Don't drink too much, because you got to be able to get from place
Don't
to place.
Don't drink and drive.
Exactly.
And also, salseros, go to the Lodge tonight, because there's always salsa on Friday nights at the Lodge. And Tony James is back. Tony James is an amazing music and salsa dancing promoter. And he was very sick and almost died last year. And he just came back like the phoenix from the ashes. And
there you go. He's got important work to do.
All the energy in the world and is doing a very good job with these salsa nights.
Saturday night, classical music, Apollo's Fire. It's called Mediterranean Nights, Sultry Songs and Passionate Dances from Italy and Spain. It's a Baroque orchestral performance that is an early music ensemble that's based in Cleveland. That's going to be an absolutely extraordinary evening at the Lansic. That's Saturday night. And in concert also on Saturday night are Los Lonely Boys.
Nice.
Yes, indeed. It's a great space, amazing music. It's going to be at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And I have to say that Sunday, the performance was also highlighted by Rob DeWalt, who we miss. And
we send
hugs and kisses out to.
Yes.
And I can't wait until he comes back and takes me over.
There's, by the way, our KSFR Fun Drive is next week, so get ready. I've got some really interesting programs lined up. Bob Edwards is going to be here next weekend. The great journalist. The man from the box. I read that autobiography or memoir that he wrote about his life in radio, and we're going to be talking about that with him on Monday morning. And we also have a drawing for an iPad, and the drawing is today, I believe. It says my announcement here says Friday, so it must be today after the 1 o'clock news. So if you want to donate before the fun drive, call 428-1527, or you can donate online.
Fabulous. Okay, moving on. Sunday, there is phenomenal stuff going on in concert. And just remember to all these exhibitions that we've talked about at the History Museum and at Site Santa Fe and at the O'Keeffe are open all the time. You can always go. You don't have to just go on an opening night. There's in concert at 4 p.m. at Vanessi's is going to be a performance of John Rangel Duo and vocalist Patti Stevens and David Jeunesse, which should be sort of marvelous American popular song. The Santa Fe Community Orchestra is performing. They're all at 4 o'clock, which is kind of odd on Sunday, at the Lansic, which should be wonderful. It's good to go and support the Santa Fe Community Orchestra. They're all volunteers.
I like 4 o'clock.
I do, too,
on
but there
Sunday.
Are too many things to do at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And the third is Spotlight on Jazz. Alto saxophonist Dave Anderson, trumpeter Jan McDonald, and pianist Bert Dalton percussionist Cal Haynes and bassist Richard Snyder are going to be at the Center for Spiritual Living. Should be a really great concert, so you've got lots and lots to talk about. The other thing that's going on Sunday at 11 a.m., if you want to get up a little earlier, David Bacon is going to continue his ongoing conversation about water, who's in charge of water here in New Mexico, and he'll be talking to Jan Willem Jensens at Travel Bug. So
and they're both fabulous.
Awesome. They are just phenomenal.
And on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Ramona Ausubel presents her novel, No One Is Here Except All of Us, and that is supposed to be a fabulous novel. I think that Rhea Goodman talked about it with her on Living Juicy on Monday night. I did not get a chance to have her on the show. I wish I had. But anyway, that's on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. And then on Tuesday, March 6th at 6 o'clock, believe it or not, New Mexico State Representative Bill O'Neill will read his poetry aloud with local author W.J. Mulligan. And that's at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And Mulligan is former medical director of the Navajo Nation Health Foundation. So that should be very interesting. And then on Wednesday, Santa Fe Salon Live featuring Alan Huttner and Kathy Walsh. And so that's their very first Santa Fe Salon Live event sponsored by Transitions Radio Magazine and KBAC. And weekly story time is March 7th and 8th at 10:45 in the morning. And those are children's stories.
Yes, it's every week. You could go to Collected Works and they read with the children. It's really, it's a wonderful space. The kids love it. Moving in a completely different direction, we always celebrate all the different kinds of holidays. Purim is up and coming, and Temple Beth Shalom is going to have a celebration of this holiday on Sunday at their temple, 2 p.m. Everyone is welcome. If you want to learn a little bit about Purim and Haman and the ancient history that underscores and supports the Bible stories, go for it.
I wrote a limerick that rhymed
about Purim.
Synecdoche with Schenectady. But I will spare the minds of our listeners and not recite it aloud.
Well, maybe if we have time at the end, I think that might be a nice way to close. A lot of restaurants around town are providing prefixed lunches and dinners, all kinds of culinary events at the local restaurants, and it's all week starting on Sunday. So go out and eat. Support your local restaurants. Let's give the businesses in Santa Fe a boost.
11 o'clock on Saturday, March 3rd, Tristan and Isolde from La Scala on the screen. The screen at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And for those opera fans, there's a lot of opera in Santa Fe on screen.
Oh, yes. And it's an amazing way to get up close enough that you could pop the blackheads on the face of the singer.
Not that you'd want to.
Well, you might not want to, but it's a real insight into how opera works in a way that you don't really always get when you're sitting in a large theater.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention Thursday, March 8th at 7 o'clock, also at the screen, the New Mexico Women in Film present Women in Film and Television International Short Film Showcase celebrating International Women's Day. And that is often really, really good. I don't know if you saw them last year, but there were some short films that were
phenomenal,
really spectacular. So it's worth going. New Mexico Women in Film's website is, you can probably guess, nmwif.com. And the number for more information, 473-6494. But the main thing is Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at The Screen.
Absolutely. And they're going to have some people there. Janet Davidson, who's a really remarkable producer and
Indeed.
Director, is going to be there to talk with the audience about some of these. It's pretty wonderful. On Monday, we've got Saul Williams, who's a hip-hop artist, who's going to be in concert at the Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And on Monday morning, this is kind of wonderful, Emmy Whitehorse is a phenomenal, very, very talented local artist who's going to be talking about Jean Quixtesey Smith in conjunction with Jean's exhibition at the O'Keeffe. And it's called Breakfast with O'Keeffe. So if you want to get up early on Monday morning, 8:30 to 9:30 at the museum, it includes a continental breakfast. It should be a really wonderful event. So you touched on Bill O'Neill, who I had here. There's something that the community ought to know about. The City of Santa Fe Arts Commission and Santa Fe Creative Tourism have sort of teamed up to do business development assistance for artists. And there's one, on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 at the Santa Fe Community Gallery. Check it out. See if they can lend a hand if you have a question.
And Anne Randolph, who is apparently a fantastic performance artist, is doing a one-woman show today and tomorrow, March 2nd and 3rd, at 7 o'clock at the Lodge in Santa Fe. You can get your tickets through the Lenzic at 988-1234 or ticketsantafe.org. Tanya Taylor wrote me about her and said that she is a not-to-be-missed performer. So...
don't miss her.
If you like one-woman shows, check it out tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 at the Lodge.
Absolutely.
If you do it today, then you can just stay right there and go salsa dancing afterwards, just saying.
On Wednesday, the Santa Fe University of Art and Design Visual Arts Center is going to have an opening, which I think might be really interesting, Masks and Paintings by Rose Bilat. Also on Wednesday are some artist talks where artists discuss their work. It's an exhibition that's out at La Tienda in El Dorado, and the artists are going to be there talking about the work in Five Submerging at 6:30 on Wednesday. Also, Photo Eye has its first Wednesday salon. Photo Eye is a really remarkable photography gallery here in town, and several of the artists are going to be talking about their work at 6:30 p.m., another salon. Wednesday night, Fireside Chat. The Santa Fe Photographic Workshops is going to be presenting work by Eileen Smithson, Denise Wolfe, Jennifer Spellman, Eddie Soloway, Alan Thornton, and it's a series of slideshow and conversations, which is important. And Wednesday night at the Lenzic is Los Lobos, one of my favorite musical groups who have been active since the 80s. They've got more durability and more energy than you can possibly imagine. And this is a group who took Mexican music global.
And they're doing a benefit for Wild Earth Guardians, who are doing a campaign to save the wolves, also known as Los Lobos.
Los Lobos.
I love that.
And the recording that they released in 84 was, the wildlife, the wild wolf lives. And it's about the power of the wolf, so it's a perfect combination. Go out, support Wild Earth Guardians.
That's my pick of the week. Hey, on Thursday, debut screening at the performance space at La Tienda in El Dorado of Real New Mexico, R-E-E-L, Real New Mexico Independent Film Series. They're doing a monthly screening of New Mexico's best independent films, and so this week it's Surreal Estate by Lori Lamero, Mr. Sky by Paul Marcus, a couple of others. I've seen some of these. They're actually very good.
They are all good.
There's a suggested donation. You can go to realnewmexico.com, R-E-E-L, once again, realnewmexico.com. You know what we haven't talked about is Tuesday is Election Day.
Oh, yes. Everybody in earshot, if you can hear my voice, voting is your responsibility as a citizen, and to gripe and moan about what goes wrong and what isn't good without exercising your vote is just not acceptable.
I interviewed all the candidates, and they're all online at santafe.radiocafe.org on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, so you can go and listen to the candidates from your district. You just click on I've got the audio all separate, so you can click on whatever ones you're in, figure out what district you're in. I got redistricted from District 3 into District 1, which I found out fairly recently.
Oh, boy.
So that's good to know. And I have to say, all the candidates are good.
Absolutely. It was stunning. I listened on both days, and I was knocked out by how knowledgeable and caring and connected and thorough.
And the reporter and the New Mexican are endorsing different people, so
yes.
There's not even a consensus. I have to say, I hope that people will at least consider the young guy, Houston Johansson.
Houston Johansson.
Not that Patty isn't fabulous, because she is, but he has this knowledge about green energy, about
basically all the kind of future technologies that might just save our butt, that is profound, and it's not just like, oh yeah, we should do those. It's like the guy knows how to do them.
Absolutely. And there's a bond issue that's up that people need to give serious consideration to, that will provide trails and parks and provide a little bit of money to do the things that the city needs to do.
And we're out of time.
Well,
Diane Karp is with the Santa Fe Art Institute. She's with us speaking of the arts. Robert Knott will be here next week speaking of the arts on the KSFR Fun Drive. Marilyn LeBlanc is engineering today. She's fabulous. Thanks to you. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a great weekend. And vote.
And vote.
Vote on Tuesday.
Hasta la vista, baby.
So long, honey.